Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to show number 197 from Engage for Success. Today, we're going to be talking about ideas, staff ideas, asking staff for ideas. So our topic today is all around staff suggestion schemes and how to make the most of them and some of the pitfalls and some of the benefits, of course, to be gained from running schemes of that nature. So that's today's topic. I am host for today. I'm Jo Moffat, and I'm one of the co-hosts of Engage for Success Radio. I am managing director and founder of Woodread, and we're a specialist agency that work with clients to help them use their brands to engage their people and develop effective internal cultures. And I'm very pleased to have as my guest today, Mike Allen. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hello.
Good to have you. Mike is the chap behind the blog, rather intriguingly entitled Everything Brilliant Starts With an Idea. And Mike's going to be talking with me for the next half hour about suggestion schemes and giving some pointers for how to get the most from those kinds of initiatives, which obviously play very much to the employee voice enabler of the Engage for Success for enablers. I'm sure we're going to have a good discussion for the next 30 minutes. But first of all, before we do that, Mike, can you just give us a little bit of an insight into you? You know, who are you? Where have you come from? And the blog and the organisation that you run.
Yeah, of course. So I've been involved in improvements and innovation as a consultant probably for at least 16 or 17 years, very specifically for the last 12 years, working in the innovation and idea management space, helping organizations figure out where they need ideas, who to ask for those ideas, how to get them, how to select which are the better ideas, and the most important part is how you make sure that you implement those ideas, so that end-to-end process.
Righto. Okay. Well, that I think will probably create quite a nice shape for our discussion over the next half hour. But I mean, we were talking before we came on air, and I sort of threw a bit of a curveball question at you and said, "How staff suggestion schemes? You know, how long have they been going? They're obviously, you know, clearly they haven't just come about because Engage for Success has said employee voice is something you should listen to." Tell me a little bit about the history.
I don't know a huge amount about the history. I imagine essentially what we're talking about is asking people that are closest to the customers, asking people that are closest to a process how they can improve it. So I can only assume that that is as old as you know, modern manufacturing processes, and I believe it started there. It goes way back. One of my innovation heroes is a chap called John Harrison, and he answered a call to action. It was, I guess, it was the first populist crowdsourcing event before, of course, we decided to give it a name like crowdsourcing. And it's encapsulated in a wonderful book called The Longitude. It's essentially, it was the most perplexing problem of the day, which is how the navigators on ships understood where they were in the ocean based on the latitude and the longitude. And it's a wonderful story about one. He was actually a watchmaker. So the greatest minds of universities and the greatest minds of that time were all bidding to win this competition
to solve that problem. Mike, that was that. I mean, I know the story you're referring to. I'm not sure all our listeners necessarily will, but you're right. It's a fabulous story. But that's going back, what's that, 18th century,
17th
century?
Hundreds of years. So it literally has been, in its simplest form. So we've identified a problem. We can't figure it out. There must be other people that could help us. You know, the very essence of what's become known as crowdsourcing. And really, that's what businesses are doing every day, day in, day out, that same thought process.
Right. And he ended up having a big argument, didn't he? Because wasn't it the Royal Society that said, we're going to give you a prize for the person that solves this problem? And he claims that he did, and then they reneged on giving him his money or something.
That's right, yeah. It's he ruffled feathers because he was an unknown.
Yeah.
He wasn't a member of any other royal societies or institutes or universities. It is a fascinating and a wonderful story.
It is. And of course, so they certainly didn't embrace the democracy of crowdsourcing, did they? It was something that you needed to be in with the in crowd to be accepted. So clearly, suggestion schemes aren't a new thing.
It was absolutely democratic in that anyone could partake. The way it was selected wasn't terribly fair, but I think that's a good example of the great thing about that call to action, the crowdsourcing suggestion schemes. If you broadcast it to enough people, mm-hmm. then anyone can pitch in. Anyone can participate, and that's a wonderful opportunity.
Obviously, there's no monopoly on good ideas. So clearly, schemes of this nature aren't new. Of course, we're all familiar with. If we think back to a sort of early working lives, we're familiar with the sort of dusty brown cardboard box in the corner of the canteen. But are suggestion schemes still around? I mean, are they still a thing, or have we kind of moved away from that now?
Nope, absolutely. They're still around. They're still absolutely. Mm. A thing, senior directors in businesses are talking still about these things mm-hmm. all the time. So absolutely, they're still a thing. And why wouldn't they be? Human beings are ID machines. So that basic logic still holds true now as it ever has done. The staff, your employees are close to customers. They see day-to-day problems. They have ideas, and I can absolutely guarantee that. So asking for, listening to, and acting on ideas makes as much sense now as it ever has.
Right.
Of course, that's not actually the challenge. The challenge is focusing their ideas on the right things that matter, and selecting those best ideas and implementing, and that's the difference.
So how have they changed over time? I mean, how much has this process? I mean, clearly we have a new name for it. We call it crowdsourcing. But how have things changed? How have suggestion schemes evolved? Or is it that people have just got better at doing them better?
I think it's partly that people have got better at doing them better. I think. Generally speaking, societally speaking, I think the people how people want to and are willing to engage, to share their opinions, and possibly to some extent their expectation that their opinions are valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's changed beyond recognition, even to my parents. Generations. So the awareness of that has changed, and that's incredibly positive. I think how people are expecting to be involved, of course, has changed. Some organisations still, by the way, still do have the cardboard box in the canteen that ideas go in. And there's nothing wrong with that. What matters is that people can share or feel as though they can send somebody their idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't for a moment dismiss the cardboard box in the canteen. I think certainly of the things that change, certainly how people engage with technology. Of course, that's changed beyond all recognition, and actually, that's changed beyond all recognition from just 10 years ago.
Of course.
So there's technology out there as well.
Mm.
I'm always cautious not to necessarily hide behind the technology. If people aren't, I've come across this, of course, in the line of business I'm in, quite often that. They've had a suggestion scheme for a while, and it's not. And actually, people have stopped using it. So they thought, well, we might renew it and put some technology in place. And that might be the answer. I'm always cautious that we blame the cardboard box for why no one puts their ideas in. Therefore, if we had an electronic cardboard box, people would offer their ideas. That might be the case, but equally it might not be the case.
Easy to blame the channel or the tool rather than perhaps dig a bit deeper, which we'll come on to talk about in a moment about perhaps why people may not. So, I mean, I think it's interesting. I was in a meeting not so long ago, actually, where feedback, employee feedback had actually identified a desire to, please can we have our cardboard suggestion box back? And I think it's a classic example. What you're saying is right. There's nothing wrong with a cardboard box. It's actually about recognizing your audience, isn't it? And saying what are the channels that your audience will want? Can you give them a variety of ways in which they can engage that are suitable to them and that they will actually adopt, rather than making the channel the most important thing? It's always, as with all of these things, it's about thinking about your audience, isn't it, really? So,
And in any large organization, there's such a range of ages and backgrounds and disciplines that there's not just one audience. There's rarely... Yeah. Just one audience. So having as many channels and not discounting any channel is still incredibly valuable.
Yeah. So tell me, Mike, can you just summarize for us some of the key benefits that if an organization approaches this effectively, and we'll go on to talk about how that might be in a minute, but if they approach this effectively, what can they expect to get in return? What are the benefits?
But something I see all the time is actually their organizations broadly are looking for one or two benefits. It's not an either or, they're not mutually exclusive, but it's incredibly important to ask the question to find out, what are you trying to do? What's your goal? What would make it successful? They want ideas that will save money, that make customers happier, that make employees happier. Ideas that they can turn into something that will give them pound note benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's taking out waste, whether that's reducing rework, whether that's increasing customer satisfaction, whether that's taking out problems. You can go from kind of that statement, that call to action. We know this happens. We want ideas to make sure it happens less or happens more.
Mm.
And they want to implement something that they can put some kind of ROI, they can put some kind of pound note figure on.
Yes.
The second one is actually much more about, we know it makes sense. We know we want to engage better with our employees. We know we want to find as many opportunities to have a conversation with our employees and be able to demonstrate that we're listening and we that their ideas matter. And their input and their involvement matter. And your listeners to the Engage for Success Radio will know this all too well. So you can have one of those if you only put your money behind one. If you only have expectations on one, have expectations on the second one. And there is a paradox. The paradox is one of those is relatively easy to predict and very easy to put a pound note figure on. If we ask people, if we recognize that we spend X thousands of pounds every month on people coming to collect our the waste from our manufacturing process, and we have a call to action, some kind of call to action, let's get some ideas on how we can reduce waste, and that we can then work out the numbers. One of those is perfectly predictable and easy to quantify in pounds, shillings and pence. The other one is much harder to The first one is hard to quantify, hard to predict, but easier to quantify, because we don't know whether anyone's going to have an amazing idea to solve that problem. The second one, the engagement problem, is much more predictable, but much harder to put into pounds, shillings, and pence. So I always say, if you're not absolutely sure what you want to achieve, and if you're not sure what you want to achieve, then the one that is the most predictable, that has the most benefit, but much, much harder to figure out, you know, what each individual idea costs, is worth in pounds, shillings, and pence. There's very much around they're giving people a voice, saying your ideas matter to us, demonstrating that you can do something with those ideas, and reward people. Now, reward people in as much as recognition rather than giving money, but reward people that are taking the initiative and speaking up and sharing those ideas.
So it's acknowledge that their voice has been heard and acknowledge and recognize the value of those ideas that have been made.
And telling stories. And that's the wonderful thing about ideas, and that's why I spend so much time writing on my blog, everythingbrilliant.co.uk. I'm describing ideas, I'm sharing ideas, I'm telling stories about ideas that I've seen in other places. So celebrating people for coming up with ideas, describing those ideas, describing what impact that has, the most important thing.
The most important thing, yeah, and it's a virtuous circle, really, isn't it? Because, of course, people see themselves they see their peers being recognised, they see their peers celebrated, so they then think, well, I am valued, we are valued.
Yeah. And particularly where you're telling stories about really simple ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And people go, oh, actually, I've had an idea like that.
I
go back to the first saying, humans are idea machines. You know, we all have the capacity to come up with brilliant ideas all of the time. Mm. We just need to remove the barriers that people see about sharing those ideas.
Well, that rather neatly leads on then to say what gets in the way then? What stops these sorts of schemes being effective and delivering on those benefits?
Unfortunately, it comes down to culture,
mm-hmm.
where people feel empowered, and they're listened to, and the last time that they offered an idea, it worked. People's it got implemented. It worked. That, as you said a moment ago, you're absolutely right. It's a virtuous circle.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you absolutely need leadership, and the best examples that I've come across, that I've worked with, and it's the thing I ask when organizations ask for my help, it's the thing I go back to all of the time, is firstly it's about leadership. If the CEO or the MD, whoever you call him or whatever you call him or her, can start the conversation and they can say, your ideas matter. So, and I believe every one of you has a valuable idea. If you tell me, and I believe in it just like you do, I will do something about it. So getting that really, really high level leadership and that a really sincere and honest call to action, and you can copy and paste the thing I just said, makes such a colossal difference, a direct connection. Now, whether that's a video that they broadcast on their internet, or it's postcards that they send, or a letter that they send to every employee's home address, whether that person goes on walkabouts and dips into workshops, the more that senior person can say that really strong message, the difference, the impact that makes is night and day.
Okay, no, I can see that. There's so many things, obviously, but yeah, that's so we've got a we need a leadership team or a leader that can really, as you say, put out a strong call to action and say, I am listening, we are listening, tell us your thoughts. But those are only words, aren't they? So how does that leader or that leadership team follow through on that to show that they really mean that.
So the next thing they need to do, and it is arguably the most important thing, when it comes to sustaining, and we have to acknowledge that suggestion schemes are very difficult to sustain. In order to sustain it, the next thing that you need to do, which is very different to the traditional suggestion scheme approach, which is all too often, do you have any ideas? And there's only so many times you can ask, does anyone have any ideas? It goes back to the thing I was saying earlier, which is about identifying questions. And actually what you're asking is a call to action. We identify this opportunity and we want to make the most of it, and we're looking for ideas. We know that these things are happening to our customers, and we want to solve that to make it better. So planning a series of campaigns, and that campaign more often than not is a question. It doesn't have to be. It could be another type of call to action, but you're engaging people in a very specific, very targeted way, and it's a campaign. It has a start and a stop. So you're no longer just saying, do you have any ideas? It's a very specific call to action.
You're setting your parameters, and you're directing people's thoughts towards a particular thing that requires a solution, rather than just give us your ideas, which is all a little bit open and woolly.
Yeah, and part of that is you're making sure that the managers get ideas that they want. I've always talked about this saying, if you're not careful, what you get is problems disguised as ideas. Yeah. So you get an individual's problem disguised as an idea. It could be that individual's problem is closely aligned to the organization's problem, but it might not be. And of course, if you then don't do anything with that problem, of course, that person's going to fold their arms and say, well, that was a waste of time. They didn't do anything with my idea. So the more succinct you're also helping people. You're giving people some guide rails and some triggers. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes and I'm sure everyone that's listening to this, you know, they're working away, and someone comes up to their desk saying, can you help me with something? I really need some ideas. What do you think of this? And they're completely wrong-footed. You know, they want to participate. They want to engage and give ideas, but they were just thinking about something different. So the more help and the more context you can bring to that conversation. So it's in terms of, and this is the really important part, that in terms of sustaining it, having a kind of a planned, structured way of managing those calls to actions, those challenges. So you're asking the right type of questions, the right community of people. Mm-hmm. If you ask something about renewable technology to everyone, that just gives people a reason not to engage, because it's just too difficult.
All right. So we've said, right, key thing for success is leadership and a clear, sincere and honest call to action, that we're listening, we want to hear your views. Second thing is about sustaining them by asking the right questions of the right people in a kind of focused and clear way. Then what? Is that it? Do they what do they do when they get these ideas? Are there some sort of mandatories in terms of what next? What happens next?
Yeah, then there needs to be some kind of process. And I sum this up with what I call the golden rule. The golden rule is, don't ask for ideas unless you're determined, unless you're prepared to do something with every single idea.
Every single idea. Tell me what you mean by that, Mike. Because that sounds quite an
ask. Now, the something for almost all of the ideas will be nothing. So the something is, thank you for your idea. This is why we're not moving ahead with it, but we're keeping it safe. We're looking after it. We're putting it in. Lots of organisations end up with, you know, a database, or let's call it a bank of ideas or something. You're acknowledging absolutely every idea, whether it's an awful idea or potentially an amazing idea that will make us all a fortune. At this stage, we're not going to judge any idea, but we are going to be absolutely determined to treat every idea with respect, regardless of its potential potential value. Yeah. So that really is the golden rule. And unfortunately, it's so obvious, isn't it? Unfortunately, it's so common for organizations to forget about that part. You asked me a question earlier about, are they still a thing, and indeed, what's changed? They've been around for a long time. What's changed? Unfortunately, one of the things that has changed is people have, and we have to overcome, is that people often do have an expectation that it won't work because it didn't work last time. So we do.
Right. Okay.
Unfortunately, it's very rare to consider or launch one of these things without dealing with some baggage that, well, nothing happened to my idea last time. And it's a perfectly fair thing for people to feel. Honestly, I don't believe that anyone offers their idea unless they thought and felt it was a good idea. So for seemingly nothing to happen to it. And by the way, there's something worse than nothing to happen to it. The worse is somebody else gets credit for that idea, or the boss mentions it in 6 months' time and takes all the credit for it.
I was going to ask you that, Mike, because we've not got very long left on our show. I was going to ask you that question. Is it important that people's names are attributed to ideas and that ideas are attributed to the person that came up with it?
Not necessarily, and I would always recommend that you give people the opportunity to offer their idea anonymously.
Right.
So there may be there are lots of barriers to why most people don't give their give out ideas. I'm the firm believer that everyone has ideas, but what we do know is that actually majority of people don't share their ideas. We all kill many of our ideas straight away. And the key reason for that is risk. Most people, offering ideas feels like a really risky thing to do. Well, what if it's actually a stupid idea and I end up looking stupid? What if I've just described it all wrong because I'm not very good at writing stuff down? Then I'll look stupid. What if they have considered this idea and it didn't work before and I just didn't know about it, I'll look stupid. So there's so many barriers to doing that. Now, you can't take away all of those barriers, but you can take away some of the risk by allowing people to post it. So when the person that's looking at the idea, they can see whose name it is, but you're not going to necessarily broadcast who that idea came from if they don't want to.
Right, right. Okay. Oh, so you wouldn't necessarily say they have to submit it in an anonymous with no name at all, but then their name is kept anonymous if they wish it to be.
And that's one of that's caused one of the big problems with the cardboard box, isn't it? In the corner.
Sure.
It's so unbelievably rare for when you read an idea to be miraculously fully formed and intelligible. Ideas are collaborative in their very nature. So if you don't have someone's name against it, you can't say, I got your idea. I'm sure there's something in it. Can you just answer? Did you mean this or do you mean that?
Getting an idea
without someone's name on is a big ask.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't respond to them, can you?
No, absolutely. How can you recognise them? No, that's true. So we've got a minute and a half left, Mike. So give me, in the last 90 seconds, tell us about one or two great examples in a real speed tell.
Yeah, one of all the ones that I've been involved with, one of the ones I'm really proud of. You probably heard, you may even have taken part in the Save the Children Christmas Jumper campaign. That was a call to action to all hundreds of people in the donations team. It came out of nowhere. The call to action was very specific. We want ideas for a mass participation event. And they didn't, at the time, they didn't have that. And they just plunked out of nowhere, and very, very quickly, they in that first year, they ran a pilot. It's worth millions to them.
So a perfect example of a very targeted question.
Targeted question, but you just don't know. And the thing I would encourage everyone that's listening, you never know what's out there. You just need the faith and the belief that there could be that there will be an idea out there. You just need to ask the question.
Right, right. Yes, and what a worthwhile one that turned out to be, certainly. Mike, it's been great. Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I hope that's given everyone listening some great ideas. Thanks for sharing your experiences with us. And it's been great having you on the show. Thank you very much indeed. Bye-bye, everybody.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Mike.
Goodbye.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.